My name's Sean Collier. There's Aaron Kleiber.
Here I am, everyone.
And we are back.
201.
What's 201? Oh, it's the episode.
Yeah, it's 201.
It's such a milestone, really,
yeah.
To be at the 201st episode.
We took a week off.
Yeah, we were like, we're going to rest on this achievement
we're
for a minute.
We're 200.
Yeah.
And hey, before we drop the intro,
yeah.
Thank you very much, everyone, for getting us to episode 200.
Yes.
Please continue to share with your friends.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. Episode 200 is in our top five most heard episodes ever, so thank you for sharing that one. Keep sharing.
And if you haven't listened to 200, it is the best year in film history. We're joined by Robin Hitchcock and Camila Adams. Hey, rate, review, subscribe, and share.
But this week, we've got a busload of orphans and one hot nun, and they've got a date with a creepy doll. It's
Skinamax?
Annabelle Creation this week on You Can Handle the Truth. You Can't Handle the Truth for Friday, August. August? I don't know when the hell it is anymore.
1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue.
It's Friday, August 11th, 2017. I'm here in the cinema lounge. There's a sign over this. The salon. It says the Lowe's Salon.
Well, it does kind of look like one of those speakeasy rooms where if I was running numbers in 1934, this is where I would be popped.
Yes.
Like, it'd be like... You know, there'd be blood on the wall, and
that'd
like,
be.
And there'd be horns.
A more
and Brian De Palma would crane up.
You can't solve this by pitching a more interesting movie.
Oh, sorry,
Aaron. we're back at AMC Lowe's Waterfront 22, West Homestead, Pennsylvania, and we probably did an episode on Annabelle. I bet you we did. You know that. We're both big fans we both really enjoyed The Conjuring. We both enjoyed The Conjuring 2 enough.
Yeah, and Insidious 1 and 2 are some of my favorite horror movies ever made. I'm going to be honest.
In the same family tree.
Yeah, the James Wan world.
Yeah.
Insidious 3, meh, whatever.
And the first Annabelle, okay.
Sure.
Look, dolls are... Listen. dolls...
Here's
are,
the thing about dolls.
Are inherently scary.
Sure.
But they're not automatically scary. It's not just scary because there's a doll there.
Right.
And at least this sequel, Annabelle, or prequel actually, Annabelle right. Creation, is kind of just coasting on dolls being creepy to get where it needs to go, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, sure. I mean, look, They kind of overkill it, because normally when you have a doll, but then they make up this doll to look like a demonic plague. I mean, it's just...
Yeah.
I mean, of course it's a creepy doll. Like, why would you create a doll this ugly in the first place?
Yeah. David F. Sandberg is your director here. He did Lights Out. Lights Out was fine.
It was fine.
Not Don't Breathe. Don't Breathe was actually good.
Yep.
Lights Out was fine. So he was handed Annabelle Creation off of that. And he had an idea of what to do with Lights Out. This, he just didn't really know what the hell he was doing. There's 45 minutes of a slow burn ghost story where you can tell that he's aware of how to build, of what suspense is. He just doesn't know how to build it.
Yeah, you're right.
It's very... And what ends up happening go ahead.
I was just going to say, we're not going to spoil.
No.
Because if you're a horror fan, I wanted to stop you because I wasn't sure if you... Because sometimes Sean gets mad and he goes, you know what? Fuck it.
Right.
But no, as horror fans, I wanted to remind Sean that we even like bad horror movies.
Sure.
So I would never want to spoil a horror movie.
No.
I just want to throw it. I'm sorry, Sean.
But this isn't a spoiler that you know, if you're on board with the kind of slow ghost story that kicks things off here, just know that that's going to get thrown away for some creepy ghouly nonsense. We got some yeah. Groovy Ghoulies. That's a punk band, Shannon.
Groovy Ghoulies.
And they're gonna creep you out with jump scares and lighting tricks, and it just goes cheap in a hurry.
Sean was right. I mean, there was a kind of a decent ghost movie.
Yeah, too slow, real boring. But the concept
we're fine
was
with
there.
Ghosts.
Yeah,
and then it just. Right. It just took a turn for the Sharknado world. I mean, it started getting a little nuts.
And you know what happens when you do that is your audience just starts giggling.
Yeah.
And our audience, there was a dude who just like...
He lost his shit.
He got the giggle fits about 45 minutes in and was just cackling.
And nobody was mad, by the way.
No, everyone got it.
Because he was right.
Yeah, everyone got it.
Because we laughed also.
I was sitting there thinking, because I wasn't thinking about the movie, because I didn't care.
He might have been herbally enhanced. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, if you go, please consider
that.
That'd
be fun.
As a strong option. but I was there thinking, you know, it's interesting, because it was a demonstration of how comedy and horror are basically the same thing. It's just set up, punch.
Yeah.
Whether that punch is something funny or something scary.
Sean's one of those smart guys.
And if you lose... If you lose your credibility on the scary, people just start giggling.
Yeah.
Because what did you do? You set people up, and then you delivered, and everyone goes,
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think one of the other problems dealt with those setup and scares was that they didn't know what movie they were. We did, you know, we're saying, of course, it's kind of a ghost story. If you don't pick that up, it's like, you know, there's a ghost of a little girl in Annabelle or whatever. I mean, you kind of figure that out from the trailer. But it's just, then it's like, what is it? It was like, okay, this is a doll scare. Okay, this is a demon hand scare. Like this and I'm not spoiling because they'll happen when they happen. But it's like, and this one's a weird, bad CGI scare.
Yeah, and then there was and
it's like, what is going on?
Here, I'll say this. Without...
I was even saying there's a slasher scare.
Oh yeah,
there's
absolutely.
Slasher scares. There, I mean, it just doesn't know what it
is. I was surprised this was PG-13 because there was one effect that was like, oh dang, look at her.
Right.
That it's like, we're going, oh man, we're doing that? Okay. And then, and I'll say this without spoiling, how about very late when we just took a little vacation with a character who wasn't that important and we didn't care about, while she had an encounter with a something in a somewhere.
Yeah.
Where he was a one thing and then he turned into another thing for like a 10-minute diversion that meant nothing.
Didn't make any sense.
And I don't mean like didn't have a significant impact. I mean, this was 10 minutes of the movie late, almost at the climax, that didn't even wasn't even resolved because they were just like, throw this in.
It was just a scare. It was like a scene that they came up with and thought it was good and they just stuck it in the movie.
Oh, and by the way, this movie has no climax. There's none.
Yeah, you're right. It's mumbly. It's kind of like...
Like, it got to the point where you're like, okay, now is going to be the thing, and then...
And it kind of trips and falls a couple times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah, well, it's, you know...
This is one of those rare... You will recognize no people in the cast.
Yeah.
Not a single one. The main young girl is... 10-year-old Jennifer Lawrence brought back from the past.
Yeah, I know.
There is no one in
Talitha
this.
Talitha Bateman?
Anthony LaPaglia. He's the low-rent American Liam Neeson. If you want an American Liam Neeson who you can get for, you know, a farm boy's wages.
You know him from mostly people, I guess, Without a Trace. He was on television for a long time. He was in a bunch of movies back in, like, the 90s, but, you know, you haven't seen much of him because he's been doing a lot of TV, so. But he showed up out of nowhere and was a creepy son of a bitch for no reason.
Yeah.
Like, no reason.
Yeah. Oh, just to add a little bit of, like a menace over nothing.
Yeah.
Over nothing. You're right. I mean, you nailed it. They had no idea what it wants to be. Here's an interest. I'm going to draw a connection. One of the young actresses, the youngest actress, in fact, you know who we see at the beginning of the film. That her name is Samara.
I know.
And I think she was literally named after the character from The Ring.
She's actually from she was born in Seoul, South Korea as well. So I don't know if that's you know, a name. And she's also, listen to this, Samara was called upon to attend her first audition ever in front of a longtime casting director, Donna Belajack.
Huh.
Yep.
Yeah, she was in Foxcatcher.
Yep. And Donna Belajack found her, and she was in Foxcatcher that was filmed in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Oh, look at that. She was in Foxcatcher, yeah. Last Witch Hunter, yeah, and so Concussion. She's done all of her work here.
All in Pittsburgh.
And she's
hometown.
She is 7 years old.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Good for her. Yeah. I think she was named after the character from The Ring, a film that this film just started ripping off at a certain point.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just 100%.
Yeah, there was also, you know, also I got a bone to pick too with if you have a horror franchise, you know, if you love horror, you know there's rules, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's kind of like Jason Voorhees does this, he doesn't do this, right? I mean, that's just I'm looking at other horror fans in the room watching us live. But you know what I mean? There's things like, you know,
that's
all of a
tease,
sudden,
everybody.
All of a sudden, if in Halloween 6, if Jason Voorhees, or I mean, if
now,
Michael
now
Myers.
Now he's got wings. Yeah.
Right. All of a sudden, he levitates now.
Right.
It's like, wait, what? That's not part of him. And there was things that were happening to Annabelle that were, you know, they mixed in Annabelle and The Conjuring and pretty much Insidious.
Yeah, I mean,
they did.
Oh, absolutely.
They actually did.
And there's moments where, you know,
where Conjuring and Insidious have their own rules.
Right.
This had everything.
There were moments where it's like, well, why would that stop the baddie?
Right.
A second ago, it didn't. Well, because they need to, you know, create.
Right.
To stretch out this scene. Real, real dumb. Beginning to end. I would recommend against it. I would just straight up recommend against
okay,
it.
Okay, that's fine.
What do you think? Would you just tell I would tell people not to go.
Well, I would say, listen, I'm a fan of horror movies. I probably would have went and saw this weekend when I'm away performing in Sarasota, Florida at McCurdy's Comedy Theater this weekend, if you're down there. I probably would have went and saw it because I like horror movies.
Sure.
And I don't mind going and paying $6 for a matinee to check it out. I think if you're a fan of The Conjuring, I think that you'll like a couple Easter eggs in it. There are a couple Easter eggs
fair
that you may be like, ooh, I like that. You know, ooh, I know that. And it does kind of have a cool, I would say, twist ending maybe, you know. But
of sorts. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
But not bad.
There is nothing else to say about this
no,
film.
No, there isn't.
Is there? You know, it's on a farm, kind of a farmscape, if you like an old-timey... That's another thing. I mean, you got to play with that. You know, you got to play with that setting more than they do.
Oh, with your environment?
Yeah.
Well, it seems like they built a front set on a hill somewhere, and then the whole house was on a soundstage. That's usually how they do that stuff. So, you know, they probably couldn't play with it. But, yeah, they could have played around with the land a little bit. There's a well scene that could have...
They just were like, hey, remember The Ring?
Yeah. Well,
put a well in.
Well, also, they didn't even... They underutilized having this... cool kind of well set and didn't really do anything with it.
Yeah.
Other than that, did we have trailer trash?
It was Aaron's most anticipated films of 2017, the trailers.
Yeah.
We just saw It and
Blade Runner.
Blade Runner 20 year.
Sean pointed out that the writer of this film, Annabelle Creation,
is one of the three credited screenwriters on It, so that's unfortunate.
That upsets me.
But Cary Fukunaga,
he's clearly the supervisor.
Is the guy doing the lifting, I hope.
Yeah.
It's going to be good. I think if it's not at this point, it's not.
Well, I keep saying...
People are going to be so devastated.
Sean's in the media. Sean, I have a source.
You got a source.
Yeah, I've been watching like stuff on Netflix.
Yeah,
about like newspapers and stuff. I have a source.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and House of Cards. But I have a source. And I have a friend who saw a screening at a studio. He writes for a studio.
Ah.
And of It.
Okay.
And he said, without even seeing a finished product, he saw it kind of an unfinished soundtrack and unfinished coloring.
Yeah.
And I think like one scene missing.
Uh-huh.
And he said, it's going to be one of his top 10 horror movies of all time.
Oh, wow.
And I said, what's your favorite horror movie? He said, The Shining. So that alone.
Okay, good.
Yeah, that I was like, holy shit. Like, and, you know, I like this guy's style. You know, I follow him on Instagram. He posts what he likes. So I have hope for that. Going back to the director, you made a great point that he made Lights Out. But remember, this director wrote and made the Lights Out short, which means that was his baby.
Mm-hmm.
So when he made his theatrical feature of Lights Out, he took care of it, and it was fine. They trusted him with a franchise because Lights Out was fine, but Lights Out was his baby.
Right.
You know, and this is just
Annabelle's
not his baby.
No, that was a concept that he had developed over years and had a lot to do with, and this is, okay, here's something else.
Yeah.
So, you know, come back in a month when we talk about It. That'll be good.
Yeah.
Can't
wait.
Speaking of noted horror author Stephen King.
Ooh.
Aaron, have you seen The Dark Tower?
I have not seen The Dark Tower. I've been busy touring.
You were in Calgary?
I was in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Why do people say Calgary, Alberta, Canada?
I do because that's always how they announced Brett the Hitman Hart on the way to the ring. From Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Everywhere I go from now on, every MC is going to go from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the United States of America.
Yes.
Aaron Kleiber. That's what I'm going to do. No, I've been working a lot. So I've hired some correspondents.
Oh.
To see things.
Wait,
for
should
me.
I turn on the satellites?
Yeah, I have a correspondent.
Hold on.
Via satellite.
Boop.
Beep.
It's on.
In MacGuffin's.
Yeah.
Out in the bar. It's my correspondent, comedian Shannon Norman.
Shannon Norman coming to us live from 3 feet to Aaron Kleiber's right. How are you, Shannon?
Hey, Sean, it's great to be here.
Hey, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. What was the first movie you guys talked about?
Oh, we were talking about Annabelle Creation.
Ah,
have you seen that one?
Oh, you mean the Halloween 6 of the Insidious franchise.
yes, that's it. That's the one.
Yeah.
Not a fan of Annabelle Creation then?
No, it was a thing I looked at with my eyes for most of the time.
Well, fitting.
Faked going to the bathroom in the middle of it to leave for a few minutes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's the walk around. That's the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles walk around. Like,
yeah.
I can kill a few minutes of this.
Yeah, you hit the middle of the second act.
I didn't want to tell you in the theater, but when I came back from the bathroom, another movie had let out, and a woman snuck in. And when I opened the door, she looked at me like she was going to be caught.
Yeah.
And I just looked at her, and I shook my head and said, don't.
Well, speaking of just movies that you looked at and had very little else to say about.
Yeah,
The Dark Tower.
I went to the Dark Tower yesterday afternoon.
Uh-huh.
And that's another, unlike Annabelle, it was over in 90 minutes.
Yeah, it moved.
Yeah, they really condensed three books.
Seven books.
Seven. It was all seven because I only read the first three. And it was as a teenager, and I kind of forgot some of the stuff.
4,200 pages total.
Oh, into 90 terrible minutes. It's not – actually, it's not even bad enough to be terrible.
No, it's just completely unremarkable.
Yeah. You know what? It's got a real 90s vibe to it of
mm-hmm.
this. They go, you're just looking at this world already. We're not going to explain – the wolves in under the skin. You just have to accept that. This isn't a comparison for it to be good. It made me think of The Dark Crystal that way, where Jim Henson just went, yeah, it's this world. If you don't get it, fuck you.
Or Super Mario Brothers the movie. It
yeah.
actually shares similarities with Super Mario Brothers the movie.
Yeah.
It
does.
Yeah, it kind of has the same feel.
I'm Ed McMahon over here.
Just chuckling.
Down here.
Just chuckling, but it's I think you may not have seen like recent teen dystopian flicks, your Hunger Games and your Maze Runners and your Divergence.
I've seen some of the Hunger Games.
I mean, it felt more like that than anything. Like, here's this kid, we're going to introduce him to a crazy new reality,
yeah,
and he's got to deal with it, and it's, you know, a couple of gems against the system, and just never captured any kind of, I have not read the books,
yeah,
but I know how much a lot of people really love them and how deep they go.
Well, there's like nothing from the first book in there, because I just reread that last summer.
Apparently, this is a sequel to the whole series. This takes place after the events of the seventh book. So you had 4,200 pages of source material, and you made some new shit up.
Excuse me a second. Aaron, can I puke into this bucket of pop here?
Right.
Is that...
Yeah, they tacked this on to the end rather than try to adapt it.
I feel that it was like a movie from the 90s, like, yeah. I said, that kind of world. But whenever they got the green light finally, because they've been trying to make this since the 90s.
Oh, yeah, this has been in development forever.
This is, yeah, it's kind of like they went, well, hey, the script you're working on now in 2017, screw it. We're going with the original script from the first pitch.
Sure.
Yeah, because it should have been an HBO show.
The good idea that happened at some point is, one point it was pitched as a trilogy, and in between each film they would do a season of TV.
See, that's too much.
Too complicated. You think it should have been a Game of Thrones?
Yeah, I think it should just be, because the first book, not a ton of things happen in it, but it's interesting.
Right.
And it's a slow world building there, but it's. Yeah, if you did a movie and then a TV show, like, I've read four of the Game of Thrones books. I can't be bothered to watch the show.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't be bothered to read the books, then watch a movie, then watch a TV show for a season, then wait for another movie, then...
Well, you're getting at something there. They really assumed that this shit was kind of automatically interesting, that all they had to do was throw it up there and people would go, oh, and it's not... They never did anything to hook... Someone like me, who has no idea what I'm walking into, you know, I don't know the world. So to me, it's just a movie that didn't explain itself very well.
Matthew McConaughey really channeled those Lincoln commercials.
Yeah, because he did that.
He's in the movie about as much as he's in the Lincoln commercials.
Yeah. Pops in five or six times, says some things, and leaves.
I don't want to spoil anything. But it has a thing that I don't like in supernatural movies or superhero movies of these days, where the climactic fight is just someone holding their hands up.
Yeah.
Like in X-Men Apocalypse, where it's just three people raising their arms at each other in a triangle.
Or Scarlet Witch does that a lot. She does some of that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's... No, this, I don't want to spoil it, but it's this is an... endless sprawling metaphysical mythology heavy series, and as you said, it just came down to a climactic fight after 80 minutes of movie.
Idris Elba, I guess someone said you're supposed to be a solemn solitary figure, and he took that as, oh, just be bored and dusty.
Yeah, that's my stand-up, that's what I do.
Yeah,
I'm bored and dusty out
he
there.
He looks tired in it.
Yeah.
The whole time he looks like Charles Minor right before Michael Scott quit. That's the look. Like, he just took his glasses off and he's like, "Look, Michael, we've been through this. I've got to keep the Dark Tower standing."
it's just dull, and
I wasn't even offended that I don't hold Stephen King up to this high,
right?
Thing, especially after watching every other Stephen King movie.
Yeah.
I know that adaptations of them aren't normally good. Like, who brought, one of you guys brought up that he loved, it was Aaron, that he said he loved this adaptation, which is the Kiss of Death.
He has terrible taste in movies.
Yeah.
I mean, the good Stephen King movies are The Shining, Carrie, Stand By Me, and Shawshank Redemption.
The Dark Half.
I don't know that I've seen The Dark Half.
George Romero directed it. Gabriel Byrne's in it, shot in Edgewood.
But how about that? But he always seems to be fond of some of the You know, I bet he loves Cat's Eye. I bet he loved Cat's Eye.
And the Night Flyer.
I see. I saw Firestarter. That was not good.
Yeah.
What's the one about werewolves in a small town?
Silver Bullet. Bullet.
Okay, that's a pile like of crap. Bullet. No, that's crap.
Silver Bullet's good.
Sorry,
trash.
I like Silver Bullet.
And
Silver
Cujo's Bullet's real bad, too.
Yeah, Cujo's not good. The Rage Carry 2. Anybody? I know that's...
That landed well. That landed when I was 14.
Yeah, the Langoliers, the Tommyknockers, the Stand.
Did you think this would ever happen? This is the second consecutive podcast to mention The Rage Carry 2. We've done two episodes in a row because it's a film from 1999, which, hey, go back and see if we declared 1999. Maybe. Was it the best film in year in film history? Hey, go back and listen.
Hey, is it too late to vote for An American Werewolf in Paris?
As the best year in film
history? As the best film.
Okay.
Featuring the band Bush.
Oh, my God.
Bush is an American Werewolf in Paris?
No, well, they're on the soundtrack.
Oh, okay.
I'm a big soundtrack guy.
Yeah.
Featuring
what's
Bush.
The best soundtrack to a Scream movie?
Oh,
there's only one correct
probably
answer.
Constantine with that Gavin Rossdale solo track.
Yeah.
Also, he has a bit part in it. Saw it three times in the theater. Don't want to brag. So
Scream 2 is the answer.
Yeah, so
Scream 2 is the best of
Scream
the Scream
2?
Sound. Yeah. It's got less than Jake's I Think I Love You, and it's got John Spencer Blues Explosion is on it.
Now, Scream 1 does have Henry Winkler crucified to a football post.
Yeah.
So
why didn't we get that scene? I just rewatched Scream, too. I just watched that. I was sick, and I was like, I'm going to watch Scream while I'm sitting here.
A lot of crucifixions in Annabelle.
Yeah, more than you'd think.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, Satan is their wheelhouse now. So they can't just have a creepy doll. It's got to be a creepy doll with a little Satan sprinkled on.
Can we talk about how they were trying to make the people that wear skin in the Dark Tower look weird,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't put any makeup on Jackie Earl Hale at all?
Because he already looks like he's wearing someone else's skin?
Yeah, because he looks like a fire-damaged Danny Bonaducci.
Yeah, yeah. He showed up to be Freddy Krueger, and they were like, I think we're done. I think this Robert Englund took 7 hours in the makeup chair. You, eight minutes?
They just put these contacts on him that make him look like irradiated Clint Howard.
That's Shannon Norman, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, where can people find you, either virtually or physically?
You can find me on Twitter at Shambones, with a Z. I'm going out on tour next week with Owen Straw. From New York, we're going out to Chicago, Fort Collins, Denver, Utah. We'll be playing a punk house shed in Utah.
Uh-huh.
I'll be in Salt Lake City, Minneapolis, Aurora, and shambones.com,
mm-hmm.
and across all social media there. And I host two shows at Arcade in Pittsburgh.
Right.
The first Saturday of every month, I host Blue Light, which is a stand-up showcase.
Mm-hmm.
And normally on the third Saturday of every month, I host Vidiots, which is a found footage show where I show old trash.
Yeah, it's a good time.
Yeah, and have people do comedy.
I'm a big big fan of Vidiots.
Oh, thank
you. Not that I'm not a big fan of Blue Light, but Vidiots, I get to giggle at awkward things.
Exactly.
Yeah. As opposed to Blue Light, where I get to be sad about awkward things.
About not being asked to be on it.
Sometimes if I sit there beforehand,
wait, is that why
I'll
you
get
guys,
that pity spot.
Is that why you guys made me come see Annabelle? Do you guys both want to be on Blue Light?
Anytime. When's the next one?
You know what, Sean? I'm kind of busy.
All right. That's Shannon Norman live via satellite. And thanks again to Shannon Norman for popping in. We will now throw it back to Aaron Kleiber.
Fellas, can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm back.
Well, you didn't go anywhere. The bit is breaking down.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. The bit is breaking down.
Yeah.
So at this point, Shannon, thank you so much for filling us in the Dark Tower. At this point,
don't see that, and don't see Annabelle Creation. And
are we gonna rate it?
I'll tell you. Look, I don't know when it's coming out. It might be out where you are. Wind River is great.
Ooh.
We'll talk about that more if I know it's out. I know that I think it's New York and L.A. right now.
Yeah,
that's Taylor Sheridan, who wrote Hell or High Water and Sicario.
That's right.
In his directorial debut, his debut for a movie you might see.
Right.
He did a short or something.
Large
some indie
theatrical
flick.
Release.
Yeah. But another great. It's as good as Hell or High Water.
Yeah,
definitely.
I will. Then I'll give you a little bonus too. too. I finished up because, you know, being on the road doing by myself doing nothing. I watched all of Ozark on Netflix.
Oh, somebody was just saying.
It's like season four of Breaking Bad. It's all the darkness.
Huh.
Really dark. Jason Bateman's really good. A lot of great acting in that. Also finished up Wet Hot American Summer 10 years later. Those guys are still cuckoo bananas.
They got it.
The last two episodes are insane. Mike Wean Black, fucking hilarious. And it's pretty funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to check that out.
Watch those things.
If you like the state, you'll like their absurdity.
Yeah, I got to catch up on that. I didn't watch the last one. What was the last series? It was First Day of Camp.
Yeah,
I didn't watch that either.
They did a prequel movie.
Yeah, I got to get back to it.
Well, it gets cuckoo bananas.
Okay,
like, they don't give a shit.
There, we told you some things worth watching.
There it is.
We're not all negative.
Yeah.
You know what else? The band Creeper. I like them a lot. I mention that frequently.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Go listen to them.
What are you giving to Annabelle?
Oh, you know, I've seen worse things. And those things I give ones and twos, so I'm giving this a 3.
Okay.
This gets a 3 out of 10.
I always never regret seeing a horror movie, no matter how bad it is, so I'll give it a 4.
Hey, look at you.
If Shannon is still on hold via satellite.
Shannon, let's wait. Boop, beep.
There it is.
There it is. Shannon, what would you give 1 to 10 for Annabelle Creation?
I'm going to go with a 2, guys.
All right.
2.
Yeah.
I don't have to adhere to your rules.
Okay.
And Shannon is also the person that watches garbage trash videos for a show.
Yeah.
And he gave this a 2.
And I'm going to go see the Emoji Movie by myself tomorrow.
I bet I would wager that it's a little better.
Well,
it's just a little more engaging.
In 3 days, I'll have seen the Emoji Movie, Annabelle, and the Dark Tower, and I guarantee you the Emoji Movie is going to be the best one.
And that's the world. Wow. That's the world we live in.
You're gonna have to balance things out and go watch a good one.
Yeah, I'll see the Emoji Movie twice.
We'll be right back.